Well, today's been a good day. Just been a lot of good things, but one thing I want to thank the Lord for, and is Michael in here? He's back here, okay. So I can talk about him. No, I want to thank the Lord for Michael. He shared a good word for us this morning in Sunday school. And some good stuff. But what that, I don't know. This morning's been kind of, this week it's been kind of difficult preparing. And I haven't really felt God's peace. And so I'm going to kind of change gears and go a different direction. But part of that is Michael went over. He went long. I mean, I didn't get up. I didn't walk up and stand beside him or put my hand on his shoulder. Because he had good stuff. And I didn't want to cut it off. It was good. So we needed it. But I want to cover a little bit of some stuff that was going to cover during Sunday school this morning. Because I feel like we need it. So take your Bibles. Turn with me to Romans chapter 15. Romans chapter 15. And been working through wisdom and Proverbs, and it's been neat, it's been fun, but we're gonna detour this morning and look in Romans chapter 15 and start out in verse 5. Romans 15, verse 5. If you found your place and you're able, would you stand with me in honor, reading God's Word? Now the God of patience and consolation grant you to be like-minded one toward another according to Christ Jesus, that you may with one mind and one mouth glorify God, even the Father of our Lord Jesus Christ. Wherefore, receive ye one another as Christ also received us, to the glory of God. Let's pray together. Father, we're grateful this morning for your word. We pray that you would magnify the Lord Jesus Christ in our hearts and minds this morning. Lord, that we might see the cross, that we might be drawn to what you've done for us. And Lord, that we might humbly lay down our lives for you, surrender ourselves, give you all that we are and all that we're not. And God, we pray that you'll take us today and use us for your glory, God. We want to bring honor to you. And so we thank you and praise you for all that you do, all that you are. And we just ask you now to speak clearly. And I pray that you'd hide me behind the cross of Jesus this morning. And I pray that I would not be heard or seen, God, but that Christ would be all. He would be everything. And so thank you, Lord. And we pray and ask it together in Jesus' name. Amen. Well, I want to go through a little bit of the five affirmations that are listed in your Sunday school booklet in session 3. And it's on pages 12 and 13. And this is based on an article that Tom Rainer wrote. Tom Rainer's the head of Lifeway Publishing, does publishing for Southern Baptist, and has done a great job and a lot of things. He's written a lot of books and spoken to a lot of things. But he wrote an article and published it on his blog, a year or two ago. And he entitled it, "I'm a Church Member." And he had such a response to that article that he came back and he wrote a book. It's a small, short book. If you'd like to get a copy, you can find it at Lifeway, and it's a very good read, and it's an easy read. But these are some of the basic thoughts from his article and then from his book. And I just think it's so good for us as a church family, as a body of believers, to come together and to be together and not just to be strangers sitting in the same room, but to be a family of believers, to love one another, to encourage one another, to pray for one another, to lift each other up, Because I promise you, there's somebody here this morning that needs you. Amen. So we're going to look at these affirmations and just think about this scripture. Paul says, "Now the God of patience and consolation grant you to be like-minded one toward another." And he says, the God of patience and consolation or encouragement. And I don't know about you, but those are two qualities that I need very, very much. And I'm glad that God is a God of patience. Anybody else like that around here? I'm glad He's patient with me. And I'm glad that He is a God of consolation and encouragement. And so that's why we can sing, "It is well with my soul." And it means something. It's not just empty words. It means something because Christ is there. He's at the center of our life. He's at the core of our spiritual existence. And everything does revolve around Him. And so the one thing that you can notice from that is if Christ is not at the center of your life, Christian, if He is not at the center and if everything is not revolving around Him, then what's going to happen is you're going to be wobbly. You're going to wobble in your Christian walk. I mean, if you're up and you're down and you're one day is good and one day is awful and some days you're walking with the Lord and other days you don't even think about His Word or think about prayer or think about what He's done for you. You don't have Christ at the center. And He's got to be. He's got to be. Well, so Paul says, "Now the God of patience and consolation, of encouragement, grant you, that is, give to you this wonderful gift." And here's the gift of being like-minded one toward another according to Jesus Christ. And, you know, as I look around the room, the first thing I noticed this morning is that, boy, we're different. We're different. And God's got a lot of nerve. Well, I mean, we might think that. But I mean, to bring a group of people together as diverse, as different as you are, put you in the same room, and then expect you to be like-minded. What a lot of I mean, not just nerve of knowledge. Because our God knows what we need, and our God knows where we are. And so this morning, we're all at a little different place in life. Some of you may still be working out and figuring out your relationship with Jesus Christ. You may not actually have a relationship as such with Christ. And may I just say to you, if that's you, I'm glad you're here. And I want you to really think about that this morning, because that's the most important question of all. But God has us all here. And we're in different places, and we're learning different lessons, but yet we're given a family of believers, and we're given a place where we can come together in the name of Jesus Christ. And so it's a thoroughly good thing, and I'm grateful for it. Now, I want to give you an opportunity. If you don't have one of these and you'd like one, I want to give you an opportunity to grab one of these. So if I could just get a couple of helpers here, Math and Erase, y'all just take those and see if anybody needs one. If they want one, they're welcome to it. But here's our first affirmation of a faithful church member. And that's a wonderful statement to me as a pastor, because oftentimes what I see and what I hear and what comes back to me is in the form of negativity toward the church. It's criticism of the church. well, the church didn't do this, or the church hasn't done that, or the church is full of hypocrites, or the church, you know. And so there's a lot of negative stuff out there. But you know what? As blood-bought believers in Jesus Christ, I think that our hearts and our minds and our lips ought to be different in what we say and what we affirm. And here's a great affirmation for you. If you're a child of God and you're a part of the body of Christ, that's this local body, number one. And I'm on page 13 if you just want to look at this. He says, I will be a source of unity in my church. I mean, we could say it in a dozen different ways. We could say, don't do this, don't do that, don't. But I think it's far better, it's far richer, it's far more meaningful to say, I will be a source of unity in my church. Maybe you haven't thought about that. I think we need to. Because if there's anything that the body of Jesus Christ needs today, it's unity. What we're learning, I mean, I see this, I don't know if you see it or not, but what I see is that the storm clouds have gathered in our country and in our culture, and we are seeing all kinds of opposition to the gospel. We're seeing all kinds of ways that people that we thought were solid were suddenly are shifting and turning away from the gospel and away from the truth of Scripture. And we're seeing all kinds of opposition, and it's becoming to where being a Christian isn't just a culturally popular thing to do. It's becoming a culturally unpopular thing to do. And if you're going to be a Christian, then you're going to have to go against the flow. And that's not all bad, because that makes you define who you are, what you believe, where you stand. So when I say I will be a source of unity in my church, well, let me just say to you, and you may say, well, but preacher, I'm not a preacher, I'm not a teacher, I don't have responsibilities here or there or whatnot. If you're a part of the body, you have an opportunity to say, I will be a source of unity. And the only thing I would qualify that with is to say, I will, with God's help, be a source of unity. Because we all get down sometimes. We all get discouraged. But here's what happens. Something happens at church. Somebody's a little bit short with somebody. I mean, I don't mean short, but I mean short, you know. I'm going to move over this way. somebody says something that's probably not appropriate, not right, and sometimes we do that. Or something isn't done or isn't said that we thought should. Well, that happens. And so when we're down at the coffee shop and the guys are down there, then, well, I can't believe that preacher. I can't believe that guy at church. I can't believe that church. Or we're at the beauty shop. I don't know if y'all ever hear this, Virginia. Oh, you don't gossip at your shop. Okay. Okay. I'm not sure how to take this. But anyway, but we get in here and we start murmuring and we start complaining. And here's the thing. There are people sitting there listening to us who are far from God, out of church, and they're right with you. Oh, honey, I know. Yes, you're right. Oh, you don't need that kind of negativity in your life. You need to get rid of that. You need to. And then also you've got lost people. You've got people who are listening, but they're listening from the vantage point of a person who does not know Jesus Christ. They don't understand the first thing about church. And so all they're hearing is just going to reinforce to them, well, I'm probably okay then. I'm probably okay where I'm at. I don't need Christ. I don't need the church, because obviously the church is full of hypocrites. And look, I'm not saying ignore issues that arise, ignore things that happen, but deal with them biblically. And it is never appropriate to be a source of murmuring and discontentment within the body of Christ. And so, I want to encourage you to affirm this statement. I will be a source of unity in my church. And we all need that. And more than that, Paul says that the God of patience and consolation grant you to be like-minded one toward another, according to Christ Jesus. Because some of us, we hear the Word of God. Now be careful here. Some of us listen, we hear that idea. Oh, like-minded, unity. Yes, yes, that's good. Except preacher. You obviously don't understand. And I'm sure I obviously don't. But it's according to Jesus Christ. It's not according to what Brother Tim can do or what Brother Wayne or Norman or Michael can do. It's about Jesus Christ. And suddenly, it's different now. Now we've got the opportunity within our youth group to become a group of young people who are encouraging and helping at each other. And we're not picking at each other. We're not bullying. We're not being unkind. We're not excluding people. We're opening up and we're helping people to come on and become a part of what God's doing. Well, that's what it ought to be, shouldn't it? And that's what it ought to be in our children's department. And that's what it ought to be in our senior adults and in every other area of our church. We've got an opportunity to do this thing of being a source of unity. Not just not griping. Well, I thought it, preacher, but I didn't say it. Well, I'm glad you didn't say it. I wish you weren't thinking it. Because that's the real issue. We need God to change our hearts. And so I want to encourage you. Take this on. Say, Lord, help me with this. I want this. I want to be a source of unity. I want when people come to me that they can just feel relaxed, feel comfortable, and know. Just know that I'm not going to be griping and sharing a bunch of junk that I shouldn't. All right. Well, the second affirmation is, this is an interesting one. He says, I will follow and support my church leadership. And, you know, first of all, let me just say, church leadership is far from perfect. Okay? And I'm not suggesting that my leadership or any of the leadership from this church is ever going to be perfect. It won't be. But part of being a part of a body is saying, Lord, bless my pastor. Help him, Lord. Help him. He needs it. Amen. And it's true. I will freely confess. I need it. And I want it. And I, you know. But if your pastor asks you for something, asks you to do something, and I don't mean something strange or crazy. Well, it could be something strange or crazy, because sometimes God gives us assignments that are kind of strange and crazy. But I mean, the best of your ability and with God's help, say, I will follow the leadership. I mean, when my Sunday school class says, hey, this week we want to contact everybody who wasn't here today. Well, that'll never help. That won't work. That's not a thing. That's not going to help anything. They don't want to hear from me anyway. Well, we just went back and we just obliterated statement number one. And I want to encourage you. I mean, be enthusiastic. When things get floated, I mean, pray about it. Ask God for wisdom. You know, we got all kinds of opportunities and things happening in our church, and there's a lot of activity. You know, we're a small country church, but every now and then this hits me. Even though we're a small country church, there's a lot of things going on in our church. A lot of good stuff. And I'm not suggesting it's what we ought to, you know, everything we ought to have going, but thank the Lord for what He's doing through the body of Christ. I want to encourage you, when you see leadership pop up within your church, and because here's one of the dangers. If the pastor says it, most folks are, well, preacher said, you know, lemon meringue pie, so I'm going to bring him a lemon. No, I'm just kidding. I'm kidding. No, I don't need it. As much as I might like it, don't do that. But if the pastor says something, okay. But if somebody else says, then somebody may look at them and say, well, who do they think they are anyway? Who died and made them king of the world? Oh, wait, we just... Okay. Don't shoot down leadership within the body that God raises up. Whether it's in the youth group, whether it's in the adult, it doesn't matter. When you see somebody serving and doing, try to assist them, try to help them, try to encourage them, try to aid them, not discourage them and, well, I'm not going to do that. She's not this or she's that or... No. Let's come together. And according to what Paul says here, it is possible to be like-minded one toward another. Well, number three, the third affirmation is this: I will be a functioning member of this body. I will be a functioning member of this body. Well, that's good. That's good. But here's the thing with that. For some of us, we've bought into the idea that church is purely about sitting in a pew, putting something in the plate now and then. We've done our part. And I want to encourage you, be a fully functioning member of the body. I mean, get on that email prayer list. And when one comes across your screen, pray about those things. Okay? Get on our prayer text list. If you're not on there, shoot me a text. Get me your email address or get me your phone number and who you are, and I will get you added on. And it's a blessing because we're able to pray for folks as needs arise, and it's a help. And, you know, technology is not always good, but sometimes it actually does some good things. And be a fully functioning member. Look to see how you can support, how you can build, how you can encourage. This morning, Clinton wasn't here. Clinton wasn't here, and as a result, Jim and Marcia and Mike were back in the back getting the Lord's Supper ready. And so as a result, nobody was there to open the door for folks as they came to Sunday school this morning or church. Because Clint's taken on the job of a greeter. Norman's been helping with greeting. Folks, we need people just to come alongside and just to help out, just to be ready. Jump in there. Don't wait for, well, you've been nominated to be the assistant to the assistant to the assistant chief bottle washer. Would you accept this position? Would you pray about it? Please. Don't wait. When you see a need, let's find a way to get in there and let's begin to help out. Let's begin to serve together. Let's function as a family, as a body. And I don't know how it is at your house, but you know, at our house we have different jobs, and sometimes far too much of that work rests on my wife or you know, but we all have some responsibilities we should be doing. I want to encourage you. You may feel like church is a place I come and sit and get lectured, but honestly, it's so much more than that. It is so much more than that. And I want to encourage you to embrace what God wants to do in you. Notice some of these statements here at the end of this paragraph. He says, I will attend, I will give, I will serve, I will work, I will evangelize. You know, even though I don't have a part in every ministry, you won't have a part in every ministry. You know, when the Chimes Choir gets up here, I don't have a part in that ministry, but I sure enjoy hearing them. It's a blessing. They're an encouragement to me. You know, I don't have a part in every ministry that goes on in the church, and I don't have to. And you don't have to. But we pray for one another. We love one another. We encourage. We build. We strengthen. We're a fully functioning member. You know, when you got members of your physical body that are not functioning, a few of you have some that are AWOL, but, you know, some of you have members that just don't function like they should anymore, like they once did. And you can't jump as high as you used to. You can't run as fast as you used to. Well, I want to encourage you. Be a fully functioning member. Number four, I will lead my family and others I can influence to be good church members as well. We will worship together. We will serve together. We will value the church as the visible expression of our Lord in this world. And the church is not perfect, we know that. But it's still the body of Jesus Christ. And it's God's plan for reaching a lost world. I want to encourage you to embrace this truth. I will lead my family and others that I influence. You may say, oh, I don't have influence. Yes, you do. You may not think you do, but you influence others. By your actions, but also by your words. And I want to encourage you to make use of that. Number five, I will value being a member of this church. I will daily thank God for placing me in a family of believers, and I will ask Him to help me to be faithful until He moves me or calls me home. And so I want to encourage you this morning. You know, this is not about how good of a church member you are or I am, but it's about what Jesus Christ can do in us. In a moment, we're going to observe the Lord's Supper together. We're going to remember what Christ has done for us. Jesus gave His body. He gave His blood for us. And because of that, you and I can be radically different from the person that we used to be, that we once were. And I'm thankful. I don't know about you. I don't want to be that old Tim Hobbs. I was never happy with who I was. And God's still working on me. And there's a lot of room to work. But I'm thankful that He's changed me as He has. Well, let's look at this scripture once more. Romans 15:5 says, now the God of patience and consolation grant you to be like-minded one toward another according to Christ Jesus, that ye may with one mind and one mouth glorify God, even the Father of our Lord Jesus Christ. Wherefore, receive ye one another. Now, here's a thought. Some of you have received Jesus Christ as your Savior. I hope all of you have. And He has received you into His family. You're a part of the family of God. But now, as a part of the family of God, we are to receive one another. We're to receive one another. Say, well, preacher, that might be a little more closeness or a little more, you know, I'm not sure if I'm ready to receive all these people. Well, look, you don't have to take them home with you for the most part. You don't have to be best buddies with them. But you need to receive them as fellow heirs of the grace of God. You need to receive them as being sinners saved by grace, being changed. You're going to spend eternity with them. Might ought to get used to them. It could just be that whenever God has your place prepared, He's going to put it right beside that person that on earth you never could get along with or you never did want to be around. He might. I think it'd be kind of appropriate. Of course, God's going to take away our sin nature when we get to heaven. It'll all be good. We'll be able to get along with Daryl then. I bet nobody's giving you a hard time today at all. So there you go. So it was time. So verse 7, wherefore receive ye one another. When you get married, one of the things you do is you receive your mate. You receive your husband. You receive your wife. And you don't receive them as you would like them to be. You receive them as they are. And folks, when we come to Christ and we become a part of the body of Christ, we receive people as they are. And we love them with the love of Jesus, and it's enough. And so I want to encourage you this morning, receive one another. He says, as Christ also received us to the glory of God. And so when the church is functioning and working and doing what it should, it's bringing glory to God. And that's what we're here for. All right, we're going to have a moment to pray, to prepare our hearts, to seek the Lord together before we have the Lord's Supper, and to answer a spiritual question that is a very important one. If you died today, do you know what would happen to you? Do you know where you would spend eternity? And if you don't know, I want to invite you to open up your heart to Jesus Christ and to trust Him as your Lord and Savior. He has given everything in order for you to be saved. He's done all. And all you have to do is receive it, believe it, trust in it. Turn from your sin, turn from who you are to Him, and He will do the rest. If you've never done that, I invite you. Open your heart. Let's bow our heads. Now, in this moment, there'll be some believers that God will deal with your heart about something. And so if he does, then you answer His call. And you surrender that to Him and ask His forgiveness. Confess it as sin. Be specific. Ask Him to give you strength to change, to be different, to be the person He wants you to be. Could be you're here and you've never been saved. You can be. I want to invite you this morning. Would you come? I mean, you can come right now. Just take my hand. And we will take a moment to just spend with you, to talk with you and pray with you, to help you to know what it means to be saved. Maybe some other thing that God's placed on your heart this morning, whatever it may be, you answer His call. Heavenly Father, in this moment, I pray You'd give us freedom. Lord, there's so many reasons why we shouldn't respond to the voice of Your Spirit, and the devil's supplying most of those. But Father, I pray You'd give us a freedom to hear Your Spirit and to respond to exactly what You are saying to us in this moment.